Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for each one that has come out. Lord, thank you for arresting the Satan that he cannot hinder us. And Lord, thank you for coming, dying on the cross, rising again that third day. As we celebrate your resurrection, I pray, O God, that you have not only risen from the dead of the grave, you have also risen in each one of our hearts and our lives. Help us, O Lord, to glorify you, that you may be glorified by all people. In Jesus' name, amen. The text for today is found in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Now, when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very great. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they lay him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. First off, we want to look back a little bit at what God had talked to us about through Isaiah. We find that in Isaiah, God tells us what Christ would have to go through. Christ was beaten, his beard was plucked out, and yet he did not complain or tell them that what they were doing was wrong. He did not call the angels of heaven down to help him, but he knew he was bearing that cup that he needed to bear so we could have salvation, so that we could have the salvation that would save our souls and save our lives, and we could have eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven when we're called out of this world. We find that Satan in the Garden of Eden got the deed to the earth because Adam and Eve sinned, and they did not want to follow the perfect will of God, and so they turned it over to Satan himself through deception, maybe, but that's the way it was. And God had to put a curse on the world that the world could not be perfect as he had made it, and therefore, not being perfect, we find many things changing day by day in the world as well as in our lives. We find that in the Jewish custom, in the Jewish way of looking at things, Friday was day one. Jesus was put into the grave on Friday. That's day one, even though it's not a 24-hour day. Day two would be Saturday, their Sabbath, and Sunday, when the sun rose, was day three. And even though it's not a 24-hour, as we look at it, the clock, their day is that it was day three. So Jesus was in the grave 3 days. We find also, as we study the life of Christ and his crucifixion, that we find all of these things happened in a very short while. It tells us in Luke and in John that he was turned over about the sixth hour. The sixth hour would be 12 o'clock noon. And so we find also that the world became dark from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. And God turned his back on Christ and on sin, because God's perfect holiness and pureness cannot tolerate sin. We find Christ died for us by himself, fighting that battle, and he died for you and for me on the cross of Calvary. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God had not forsaken him, but God had forsaken him to the point, because he was covered full of sin of the world, that he could not look and tolerate that sin. So Jesus fought that battle and won it for you and for me. You see, Jesus was not only beaten and had his beard plucked out, he had the crown of thorns placed on his head, and he was mocked, spit upon, slapped, and beaten when he went to the cross. And therefore, all of these things happened. Joseph of Arimathea had to come to Pilate and ask for his body. The Jewish leaders came to Pilate, and they asked not only that the tomb be sealed, they said he said he would rise again the third day. We want you to put guards there that nobody can steal that body, and seal it with your signet ring. And Pilate told him, go and do what you can, and that's okay. I am sure Pilate, after his wife told him, do not have anything to do with this just man. Pilate tried his best to let Jesus go, but he was doing it in the power of man. And God says, I have to send Jesus, my only begotten Son, into the world. Whoever believes on him would not perish but have everlasting life. He is to die on the cross of Calvary, and his blood would be shed down on each one who is willing to come to the cross and to say, Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior. Be my personal Lord and my Savior. I am the world that you died for. I am the world that you took this beating for. I am the world that put you on the cross. I am the one who, in sin, you demonstrated your love to me, and you came and died on Calvary's cross for me. You not only died there, but you rose again on the third day, and that stone was rolled away. If you have ever been in Israel and you see these tombs, the stone is about 2,000 pounds, and it's rolled down and fallen into a small crevice. So I can see where these women would say, who's going to remove the stone for us? Because it's heavy and we can't do it. We don't have the strength to do it. Paul tells us that Christ came. He was willing to die for us. Yes, he prayed, Lord, if there's any other way, remove this cup from me, because he knew of the torment and the agony, of the physical agony that would be placed upon him when he was taken before Pilate and before Herod and beaten, as it were, so he was almost unrecognizable. Yet Jesus went, and when the soldiers came to Pilate, and they says, the Jews want the legs broken of these people so they die faster, because our day of the Sabbath is approaching. They said, Jesus is already dead. And one soldier speared Jesus underneath his ribs, and out came water and blood, showing that he had already died. So no bones were broken of Christ. He was put in the grave, as it tells us in the Psalms, that his bones were not broken, and he was put in the grave, in the rich man's grave, as it tells us in Isaiah, that even though He was numbered amongst the transgressors. He was put into a rich man's grave, never been used. And so he had in a borrowed grave. When he rose again from the dead, and when Peter came to him, or came to the tomb, they found his clothing in a certain pile and a napkin that covered their face in another place. And it was there and in an orderly manner. We find Mary Magdalene is the first one Jesus came to on that morning. And when Mary Magdalene seen Jesus, she did not recognize him. And she says, thinking he was the gardener, "Tell us where you laid his body, and we will take it away and take care of it." And Jesus says, "Mary." Remember, Mary Magdalene is the one that had seven demons cast from her. And so those that had much forgiven, they love much. They love Christ so very, very dearly. And it seems those that seem that they have very little forgiven, they don't seem to love Christ as dearly. And the question comes to us, how much do we love Christ? Christ is risen not only from the dead, has he risen in your heart and in my heart. You see, Jesus lived, he died, he rose again, and he's living forever in heaven, making intercession there for you and for me as we have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." And as he stretched out his arms, he says, "I will draw all people unto myself as I am lifted up from the world." And he has then died for you and for me. And he says, "I will die and I will forgive the many sins for many people." And we say, "You died for the whole world." And that is true. But there are many that will not accept that free gift of salvation. There are many that will say, yes, he must have rose, and yet they do not put their confidence or faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross for their eternity. They do not look beyond this world, and they do not look and realize that in eternity, when you leave this world, you live forever, and you live either in heaven or in hell. And Jesus says, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I came so you can have eternal life in heaven and sit at my feet in heaven as I explain to you the glories of heaven and the things that have gone on." We find so much that we would be there with the prophets of old in the Old Testament, and how the Old Testament prophets prophesied of Jesus' coming, of the end of the world, and of or the end of the age as we know it. And we find that God is in charge of it all. God says, "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." When Jesus was here, he was buffeted by the Sanhedrin, or by the leaders of the land. They were always trying to pick on him and find something wrong. They were always taking and trying to degrade him. You know, there was 100 ministers in the Washington, D.C. area, and they had taken a survey of those ministers, and they all claimed to have Christ as their personal Lord. Yet 17 of those 100 ministers did not believe Jesus rose from the dead. They had not read the scripture. They had not taken their Bibles and searched the scriptures. And Jesus says, "Search the scriptures. They tell of me, and they tell of what I am doing and why I came." Jesus told the people of his day, and he's telling us, the work of God is this, that you believe on him who he has sent. And if you don't believe I am the Son of God, as he told Philip, he says, "Believe the very works for their sake of the works I have done." And Philip, of course, was one of his main disciples. Philip did some mighty works. We find today in the world, and to throw a damper maybe on the risen Christ and the glory that we see of Jesus rising from the dead in Sri Lanka this morning, there ahead of us, there was over 200 people killed in the synagogues and in the temples and in the churches and in the hotels. And there was one said eight and one said nine explosions in there, killing over 200 people that had come to worship Easter Sunday morning. That hasn't happened here. You know, we have been very fortunate that we haven't seen this type of terrorism or this type of working from the devil. Satan is working and trying to do everything he can to discourage us from worshiping Jesus Christ. Satan is doing everything he can to make us to go away from worshiping Christ, to go away and not think about Christ rising from the dead, to not think about that God sent his only begotten Son into the world to save us, not to condemn us, that Jesus came of his own. He was sent by God the Father, and God tells us that if we believe on him, we would not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus has told us, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And in that rest, I will give your soul peace, peace of love that only God can give in this troubled world. The world, as we see it today, is controlled by Satan, and Christ is trying to show the world, and he will show that his love is greater and stronger than anything Satan can give. And Satan wants to destroy. The time is coming when we will have to take a stand for Jesus Christ. And if we take that stand for Christ, yes, we may suffer, but yet in eternity, we would be with him in paradise. And in eternity, we could sit at his feet and at the feet of the prophets and even the disciples and hear the things, some of the things that they maybe have said and gone through. We see God has given us scripture, and he tells us, as you search those scriptures, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you as you have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that in that guiding, he will teach you all things. Jesus says, I gave my back to those that beat me. I did not say anything when they plucked out my beard. And yet, he says, I did it because I died for their sins and for the sins of the world. And as he stretched out his arms on that cross, he said to that penitent thief, you will be with me today in paradise. And he's telling us the same thing, that if we believe and trust in him, we can have glory even here on this earth. His glory showing through us, that people will see him in us and glorify him. And we can definitely say, he is risen. He is risen from the dead. He has risen in my heart. He has risen and given me new life. He has risen and given me something to live for, that I can joyfully go, even in a troubled times, and say, I have the peace of God which flows beyond all measure in me, and I can understand that God is my Lord and my Savior. I understand why he came into the world. I understand he paid a debt I couldn't pay. And I understand he became poor so I could become rich through him. And through that, we find Jesus lived, he died, and he rose again, and he lives forever. He has ascended into heaven. It's been proven over and over that he arose. There are parchments and history that shows he rose from the dead. yet we have so many people that do not want to believe that because they do not open Scripture and they do not want to listen or hear. The power of Christ was God gave him all authority in heaven and on earth. And in that power, he can lead us and guide us. And he says, if you believe on me and trust in me, you will never thirst and you will never hunger, because as you read the word, the Holy Spirit will not only teach you, it will feed you the word, and you will know salvation is yours through Jesus Christ. There is no Christianity, there's no salvation without Jesus, and he has risen from the dead. Those who would say otherwise or doubt it, they are should be told to read, study the Scripture. The Scripture tells us Jesus came, he lived amongst us, he left his riches in heaven, he came and lived amongst us, and then he died for us. And he gave us then, as we trust in him, the riches of his glory, that we too can be with him in heaven forever and forever. Let us take to heart that he is not only risen from the dead in the physical sense, he is risen in our hearts spiritually, and that our heart and our life belongs to him, that we are new creatures in Jesus Christ today, and we want to live for him forever in this world and in the next. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would watch over us, that this great news of Jesus rising from the dead physically, he also rose from the dead and rises in our heart and in our life. I pray, O God, that we would be able to sing that it is worth living because Jesus is in our life and in our heart. May we do that daily. May we come to him daily, not only in prayer, but seeking his will in our lives. We pray, O God, that you would be with us to be able to proclaim your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to hymn number 98.